It's no skin off Gordy's back, I believe. You know, he's obviously a proud player of the club. What did he win? 3 premierships, Clive Churchill. Pretty special, but, you know, I think it's pretty poor from the Broncos, to be honest.
We just made errors, poor discipline, gave penalties away. And then eventually, you know, the mountain of possession they get, they just capitalise on it. So
just because she's a female and I'm a female, we don't all know each other, unfortunately, but nice try.
I also read on your profile you're slight in terms of height. Not by no means huge.
Jeez, digging the hole deeper and deeper and deeper.
Well, once you you've got to level it out.
I look great, yeah, but I'm short. Okay, cool. Thanks.
No. Look, I was going to say that.
Stop talking.
Have a positive because you know you're obviously very agile.
I trust my wife.
Trust your wife.
Oh. I trust my wife.
Shit, man, I thought I was in trouble there, Rick. She's cool, but she's about to f***ing eat me.
She's still there, you know.
Oh, sorry, you're still on.
If you think you couldn't have f***ed up anymore.
Oh, the trifecta. You just killed the show, mate.
It was funny.
It was a good show.
It was a cat doing kung fu.
We were competing with the good shows of Australia, and then that last clip, we're right back down the f***ing bottom now, mate.
Hey, yeah. We have been organised. The buck stops with the producer, doesn't it? At the end of the day, yeah. It's the producer's job to make sure it runs.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Macca, and he still hasn't got you set up with a microphone or a laptop.
Don't blame me.
I know.
I've had a guy chasing him all day with a mic.
What's going on there, Macca?
Look at that thing there. I mean, they were wearing these in the 80s, you know? I've got to hide that and put AirPods in.
I've made a few changes, and because we've all been fighting about who's going to do the intro, I've organised an intro. Press play, please.
Welcome to Sports Cafe. On the show today, Connor Watson and Taylor Montoya. Joining us from Brisbane, we have Chris Lynn, and from New Zealand, co-producer Mark Ellis. This is another spectacular Rick Salizzo production where everything will be totally professional and very well run.
You got the name wrong. It said Sports Cafe, a little shambles cafe.
Come on,
that sounds like the intro to like a sex show or something. Blue
paper premium.
So you want to talk to the audience about your new look or?
I've moved into more of a producer role.
Yeah.
Because I just feel really comfortable now that you guys have the show under control.
Look at the size of your ear.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the exact point. You're just basically highlighting a lug, you know?
The fact that you could see that camera as well is huge, mate.
That's better.
There's two things that never stop growing. One is your ears and the other... By the look of it, wreckers your nose.
Right. Anyway, as the producer, I'm just trying to bring this show under control.
Well, now that we're hosting it, we have any notes?
Yeah, there's no run.
Can we get rid of you now that we're hosting it?
Just little things. I've got the notes. I'll tell you what to talk about.
Do you want to print those off for the people running the show then?
All right, you got quite lippy, you two, haven't you?
I think just the bare minimum. As an ex-executive producer, bare minimum.
Right. Look, this is the first topic of conversation is the Broncos.
Taylor, I can't hear you.
Lucky you, honestly.
The Broncos this week took the name off the Gordon Tallis meeting room. And it's been quite controversial, but Gordon Tallis said that he wasn't worried by it. And if you're the Broncos, do you really want to just at the moment meet in the Gordon Tallis meeting room? You know, I don't know. Lenny, as the official Broncos spokesman on the show, what do you reckon about all this sort of, is it controversial or is it just one of those things?
And Bill.
Look, it's no skin off Gordy's back, I believe. You know, he's obviously a proud player of the club. What did he win? 3 premierships, Clive Churchill, pretty special. But, you know, I think it's pretty poor from the Broncos, to be honest. But
so he's been giving them, you know, the what for or what he genuinely believes and, you know, saying the Broncos aren't performing.
No, well, as he said last week, he gets paid to voice his opinion. And all he said was the optics didn't look great with Renault flying down to commentate. But I'd watched a clip on Sean Johnson earlier today. And, you know, he's been in both sides, in both corners in the media and a player. And he's touched on that you can't define your week on the 80 minutes. You know, so if you do have other commitments, if you go shopping, if you go to a cafe, don't be afraid to do that if you have a poor 80 minutes or if you have, you know, something that's going to distract you from your family life. I think that's very important. I think those are great, great points that he raised.
What do you feel like as an ex-player, as a current player, when the ex-players have a crack at you?
I guess I'm from the understanding that if you're in the media, like, they've got a job to do, you know, so I don't really take it personally. Like, if I've had a bad game, I know I've had a bad game, so I'm probably more filthy at myself than if someone else has commented on it. But I mean, it's hard. Like, if people are questioning your character or whatever, of course you're going to get your back up. But I think you just need to understand that, you know, the media's got a job to do. They're going to create stories. They're going to create headlines, whatever it is. And it's not usually personal, so.
I'd imagine you'd get pretty wild if someone has a crack at Marcelo.
I stay off all, like, socials and that, eh? So I try not give it any attention because, yeah, like what's – yeah.
To be honest, I reckon it just takes the heat off Gordy. I mean, heat off the Broncos because they weren't winning. So they're trying to deflect because they are owned by a news company, aren't they? News Limited. So they're just trying to deflect what's happening in actual, you know, the competition. And Gordy's the scapegoat for that.
They've taken his name off a meeting room because he said that they're losing and not playing well, and they are losing and not playing well.
Yeah, well, it's been happening for a couple of years now, and obviously Gordy's best mates with Kevin Walters, and we knew that didn't end on a great note. But he's just sticking up for his mates, and he was a proud leader of the club. And look, people say let's move on. It's actually the media just beating it up all the time. So let's actually move on, because it's not that big a deal.
You must be happy because you won.
Yeah, we're back. We're back. I think it's the first time we've beaten Melbourne down there in what 20 years. But look, the boys have always had that in them. But now it's just all about playing that consistent footy. I mean, Connor knows more than anyone, you know, how hard it is week in, week out. But the pressure of the Broncos and a club like the Roosters, they're so proud. So there's always that scrutiny on you.
Yeah.
I think the theory of actually, you know, abusing until you get the result, you know, is sometimes kind of effective. I remember, Rick, when you were weighing in about 160 kilos and you were asking me for a bit of advice about how to get in shape, and I just said, look, it's the pie hole diet, mate. Shut your f***ing pie hole. And then I started abusing you on the show consistently for being, you know, morbidly obese and overly rotund and all those sort of things. Net result is, what are you now, 120? I mean, we've kept you under.
I'm 101.
Really? You're actually 160.
Shit, bullshit.
No, I've never been 160.
When was the last time you were under 100? You were 160, mate.
I was not.
You were getting so close, we were calling them dartboard. 180! You were getting there, mate.
The most I've ever weighed was 110.
110.
Yeah.
All muscle, I
bet. Oh, bullshit. Yeah. Show them the old footage. Prove
it. And then a good weekend for the Bulldogs?
Yeah, so they played on Thursday night. That was a crazy game. Oh, my God, honestly. I'm laughing at Macca.
Mate, it's so
true. I like
true.
How you change that subject. But, yeah, no. God, I nearly had a heart attack, obviously, but thank God they got the win.
Do the players love Thursday night games, or do you as a wife?
I love, like, going to the game on the weekend, but I guess it's great for them because now this week they had a longer turnaround, so I guess that helps in that respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked about the Broncos. We talked about the Bulldogs, and just Connor, I was gonna play this clip.
We are the Army, the Penrith Army, and we are Westies.
We're back to Cleary. Go war! The no look pass out to Jenko. Go! Yeah!
So I follow that. I love that guy. I love his passion for the game. And I was sort of setting it up to have a bit of a crack at, you know, obviously your game against Penrith didn't go that well. And then this photo came up on my feed. This is us on the sideline after we lost the World Cup final in 95. Mark was in the team. This is us watching the South Africans.
That's Rick. That's Rick on the far right.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
Oh, look at him.
You've got a hide gonna come at Connor looking like that, mate. You've got a fucking hide.
What? I'm actually just trying to do an emotional thing about look at the faces on people.
That's put the headphones on him.
I'm not buying it.
It's just look at me. Oh, mate, I'd have been on the piss already, I think.
No. This is us. You're probably standing behind someone. We can't see you. But I thought to myself that this is what it feels like to lose. And this is, you know, that moment, Mark and I talked about it over the weekend. We still remember that day. Mark, you talked about the things that happened to you in the game. You still remember because those losses stay in your head. So, I mean, I just wanted to talk to you from a human point. I mean, what was it like? You lose, 40-4. You wake up the next morning. What's that like?
Well, Lenny talked about it before, about what Sean Johnson said on that show the other day, that you got to try and not let the 80 minutes define you as a person. I think that's the biggest thing because, you know, you have all intentions of winning. Everyone wants to go out there and do well. And when you are a rugby league player and it's kind of it consumes you, you know. So you do take losses personally and it can be hard, and it's probably something that I've got better with throughout my career, of like not riding the highs and not riding the lows, like just trying to stay balanced through it all, because a week in rugby league is a long time, you know, like things change quickly. Do everything that you can in your power. So like what can you control? You can control how you train, your attitude towards it, and that's just the biggest thing. Obviously, take your lessons out of the loss. Let it hurt, but don't let it define you as a human as well.
To like lean on each other as well as a team, like does that help to like kind of vent to your teammates? I didn't even like...
Yeah, for sure.
Or would you rather just space the day after?
Nah, you can't... I mean, like, yeah, you got to have sort of honest conversations about the game. Like it's important to... you know, address what's happened, talk about it, but then be there for people as well. Like if folks had a shocker and that, you don't want to, you're not going to kick someone while they're down, you know, you want to get around them and tell them that you got their back. And but like I said, like everyone sort of is of that. I mean, as you get older and you, like Linny, you can talk about it, and Macca as well, like you go through your career, and at the start of your career, you just ride the highs so much and you ride the lows as well. So I remember someone told me, it's like nothing's ever as good as it seems and it's never as bad as it seems, like both of it. So just to try and stay balanced through it all. But if you do see blokes are struggling, obviously you want to get around them and support them. But it's only early days. It's sort of round three. Yeah. So might be different story. You know, if you're sitting here end of the year and you finish your year off like that, of course, like that a loss like that's going to hurt you the whole off season. But I think just having that perspective that we've got another game on Thursday night. It's early in the season. We're disappointed. Like we didn't play the way we wanted to and probably haven't started the year the way we wanted to, but we're doing everything in our power that we can control to turn it around. So, looking forward to Manly now.
I think too, the older you get, the more you realise that, you know, even if you're the best sportsman in the world, it's 10 years of, you know, what is effectively a 50-year career. So, put it in perspective. I mean, you played sport, you started playing sport because you liked it. You probably continued doing it because you weren't too bad at it. But you got to have the joy there and be beyond a wholesome discipline of, you know, committing yourself entirely to it, you know, see the big picture, which you do. The older you get, the helicopter gets higher and you start sort of getting a bit of better perspective on things. But in the middle of a sporting career, it's the be all and end all. But in 10 years' time, you'll go, well, really? You know, in much the same way as when you're a kid, you were worried about the headmaster. And then when you went to university, you were worried about the proctor. And then when you were 18, you were worried about the police. And then you get to this age and you go, well, what the fuck was I worried about?
Yeah. No, Connor, I was just going to say, are Penrith the benchmark? Is that the team to chase?
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. They're looking really good, eh? They're super fit. They are very patient. I think that's the biggest thing with them. They don't play like a – I mean, they scored some great tries in the week, and that one that Brian scored.
Brian Tyres, Jesus.
One of the great winger tries you'll ever see. But they play – just very patient, and they back their long game ability. And, you know, then you, like what we did was we just made errors, poor discipline, gave penalties away. And then eventually, you know, the mountain of possession they get, they just capitalize on it. So, yeah, they've started the year well. Defensively, I think they've had like 14 points scored on them in three games, which is pretty crazy. And then, you know, they touched us up, touched a couple of other teams up, you know, on the other end of the scoreboard. So, yeah, they're definitely the benchmark at the moment. But like I said, it's a long year, you know. It's going to ebbs and flows. Like, they started the year really well. And,
yeah. There's nothing worse than being touched up in Penrith. Macca.
That's a Macca sort of joke.
Walking around with your speedos and Bondi, mate. I'm amazed it hasn't happened there.
Macca, can you remember that day in South Africa in 95? There's some times where, you know, that was 30 years ago. I can remember it vividly. Do you still remember it? I mean, you were out in the field in that World Cup final.
Yeah, you do. You do. I mean, there's a few games which, or the losses that you had with the All Blacks, I don't think unless I stumble across it, I'd ever choose to go and watch it. As you said earlier, Connor, you know when you've done well and you know when you've done poorly, and that was one of the reasons for getting out of rugby, because they made you go and watch, you know, the replay of the game. I know when I've done well and I know when I've done fucking badly, but I guess, you know, with time and, with the ability to age and see it from a different perspective, it's a great result. It was the right result. I mean, look at what it did for South Africa. Even if we could have won that, I'd prefer we didn't, because it was such a unifying thing at that particular time in that country. So
that was the game, you know, it's just the around the Nelson Mandela stuff.
Yeah, that was the one they made a movie of, Invictus.
Wow. So you played in that game, Macca. That's crazy. Epic, like that'll be remembered forever.
Oh yeah, well the reason I was on was Jeff Wilson got sick, and so he was slightly more frail than I, and so as a net result he came off after about 30 minutes and I went on, and then it went into extra time, and I think they won it with a drop kick in about the 100 and something minute. So
right, so you play Manly
Thursday.
Yeah.
DCE, so, homecoming.
Day games?
It's a big event.
Yeah, it'll be great. It's his first game against the old club, so exciting for him. I mean, he spent 15 years at the Giants.
And after a game like the Penrith game, you must be just so keen to get back out there and put it right.
Yeah, you are.
Well, a team that didn't win but captures the heart of this nation is the Matildas. And we've got a special guest joining us now, a legend of the game, Matilda's former goalkeeper, Melissa Barbieri. You feel like people should be applauding when you do the announcement?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, well, you too right.
Great surname too. Great pronunciation there, Rick.
So you Italian heritage, is that right?
Italian heritage, both parents born in Italy and came over when they were just 10 and 12.
And you had 86 caps for the Matildas, 4 World Cups. So you must have seen a massive amount of change in the game from when you played.
Yeah, I'm still playing. I'm in the Ninja A-League with Melbourne City. So I continue to play because I want to reap the rewards that I had to endure a lot of times where I couldn't earn any money or anything like that. I just keep finding renewed vigour. But, yeah, I did retire from international duty in 2015, basically because I had a daughter. It was a surreal moment to take the trophy out the other night, and I got a moment where I could enjoy the atmosphere. To have that amount of people cheering for us was amazing and really overwhelming at the time.
Can you just set the scene for us? Like, you know, was it 70,000 people on the weekend? Just
75,826.
Oh. And I mean, it was a magnificent occasion, a great game by Australia, right? Against a country that's got a lot more people. Just describe the occasion, you know, and how you saw the Matildas playing.
When you compare the nation sizes, it's a huge difference. That's what we're coming up against. Well, you know, 122 million in the semi-final was 2 billion people in China. So when you've got the numbers like that in your face, it's a real achievement. And I know how much of an achievement it was for us to win it in 2010. But to do it now when there are so many players playing professionally in Europe, Japan's whole squad, bar maybe two or three players, are playing overseas and earning lots and lots of money. Our girls are doing the same thing but probably not as a high level. They've got a lot more players in the Premier League, for example. And for me, what is most heartbreaking about the game was the fact that we should have won. That's the hardest thing. Like, people go, it's a World Cup Japan team, they're top seven in the world. And I'm like, yeah, and we should have won. That's what's heartbreaking. That's the point we're trying to make, that we were up for the challenge. We were there. It's like DPR Korea. We got two chances and we scored both. In against Japan, we had at least five good chances, three should have scored chances, but the last 10 minutes of that game, we were running over them. If we had a scored and got an equaliser, we would have had them in extra time. And I don't know how Yamashita got goalkeeper of the tournament. She didn't have to do nothing.
So are you saying that the Japanese are so structured, you know, as you'd imagine they would be in terms of both defence and attack, but primarily defence? They keep the goalkeeper out of the game.
Basically, their discipline and their one percenters. You know, in sport, when you think of all the toughest moments, it's the one percenters. It's the getting into position when you've got nothing to do and doing all the right things that nobody knows that you're doing, and then you're just in the right position at the right time. But for me, their discipline was so well structured in terms of relentlessness in hard work and pursuit of denying goals, chancing goal chances, and we still ended up having four or five of them.
How do you do it? I mean, like, I've done the math. You don't look your age. You look not that. I mean, I'm older than you, but you look great. Oh shit, I'm really digging a hole here. In any event, you must have started very young. You started very young, and you're still looking great and young. But how do you do it? How do you have a career of such longevity?
This is my 29th season as a professional athlete.
Wow.
I was 17 and I started as a field player. I attribute my longevity to A, turning into a goalkeeper when I was 20, and then B, it's not about, you know, when you get a good bottle of wine, they say you get better with age, but it's actually how you store the wine. So Melbourne City for the last 9 years has been my challenging place, my building place, my place of excellence, and they just set standards in ways that I always dreamt of as a footballer.
Melissa, are you also an assistant coach as well?
Yes.
How's that work?
I like to say that I am a player first and foremost, and then in terms of how I can manage the change room and just make sure that the girls are well looked after and they've got everything that they need. So basically what you would think a captain would be like, but I don't have to do all the captaincy work.
I also read on your profile you're slight in terms of height, not by no means huge.
Jeez, you're just digging the hole deeper and deeper and deeper.
Well, once you...
You've got to level it out. I look great, but I'm short. Okay, cool. Thanks.
No. Look, I was going to say that.
Stop talking about
a positive because, you know, you're obviously very agile. That's the point I was coming to.
I attribute, I am short. I'm an average height woman, so 168 centimetres, but you can say short for a goalkeeper, but it's always about what you can do with that height, and I've always had a huge vertical leap and great timing. And I think that's most of the capers being a goalkeeper. You can be as tall as you like, but if you can't read the flight or judge the incoming flight of the ball, then it doesn't really matter how tall you are. You're still going to miss it. Before I was a footballer, I was a basketballer and a tennis player. I combined all three sports to make myself a really good goalkeeper pretty quickly. So,
good.
Rex also Italian, and he was also a goalkeeper. But back in the day when you chose the, you know, the big kid and instead get in goal because you've got more chance of standing still or blocking something.
Stop talking, Mark.
Yeah, you just think they can't make the running up. I was actually a quite good midfielder. I played for Australia. I made the Australian squad as a 16-year-old as a midfielder.
Wow.
It was a back injury that got me into goal, so I wasn't the fat kid, that's for sure.
Hey, Mel, can
we just get away from the fat kid stuff?
One question in generality for all the sports people in the room. What do you think the greatest skill there is in any sport?
I think the greatest skill that you can have is resilience.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always going to go your way, but if you can find a way to get through whatever you're going through, I think that's the most important skill that you can have, because it's all fine and dandy where things are going great, but when it hits the fan, it's how you respond and what you do in that moment that really sets you apart from everybody else.
Well, that's fair enough. I reckon, for me, cricket, no fear of failure. Like, I might only have 5 good days in a year. You know, so I've got to, as you said, build that resilience when you have a bad day, short turnarounds, get back on your feet and go again.
Yeah, and so the consistency of result gives you confidence in having that belief, yeah?
Yeah, and I think the girls will be hurting at the moment. They will be hurting at the moment, and that bodes well for the future.
Yeah.
If I can put it in any other way, these moments build you for what is to come. And, you know, if you can think of all the players that may not see another Asia Cup, for all the ones that were in the squad that will, it'll bode well for them in the future.
Brilliant.
It's interesting that the pair of you have both said, I was just asked after the physical trait that differentiates success and all, but you both went to the mental side of it, which I think is so telling. I mean, everyone, I played rugby for your history or information. But everyone these days is the same strength, the same size, can run the same speed, can lift the same weights, but it's the team that has the mental nous, the top 2 inches, as they always used to say in the All Blacks, okay? That's what defines success. But out and out speed, I reckon. That's for me, whether it be tennis, whether any sport, if you've got speed, or attacking from a broken bit of play, it just gives people time. I love watching cricketers who've got time, rugby players who've got time, soccer players who've got time, and I think that comes from speed.
If you can, I don't like to say something like that because sometimes you're just born with speed or you're not.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be something that I can't say to somebody, speed, and then they don't have that, and then all of a sudden their dreams go crashing down. I think it's
But you can train it. You can train it, but you don't need to be. I'm talking
to a degree.
Yeah, these are probably more individual sports. To a degree.
Yeah, give it to Melissa. Degree, yeah. Get on there.
Yeah, I just think if you were to tell me, like you mentioned before, a good goalkeeper should be tall.
Yeah.
Well, no, I didn't say that. Yes, don't throw me under the bus for that. I was just saying one of the things I enjoyed about reading your profile was that you were, you know, by goalkeeping standards, slight, which meant you must have had that vertical leap or the agility.
And that's coming from someone who's slight as well, Macca.
Macca, you're like 5 foot six.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I understand why you could appreciate that. Me too.
I'm 5'11", but I'm pretty close to 6 foot with shoes on.
Yeah, I'm the same, actually.
All right, Melissa.
Six foot platforms.
Thank you so much for your time. And also, just so you know, we'd be sending Mark to Melbourne to undergo a training camp with you to just get his mental
I'd like that.
Space well and to, you know, teach him never to insult you again.
Unless Rick does a hatchet job on me and edits us up to make me look like a tit, which he probably will. I was well-meaning with all the questions, I can assure you. Wonderful to have you on.
Thanks, Melissa.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
it was awesome.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Cheers. Yeah. Shit, man, I thought I was in trouble there, Rick. She's cool, but she's about to... need me.
She's still there, you know.
Oh, sorry, you're still on.
If you think you couldn't have fucked it up anymore.
Oh, the trifecta.
Oh, you're doing so well, and then you just finished it off nicely.
She'd be great to have in as your club as a player, eh?
I think she should replace me on this show, just quietly.
If she's still here, I need to set a few more compliments.
I'm glad Rick did his research, Bart.
She's a player.
Yeah.
Mate, all the gear not
money. Hey, back off, would you?
There'll be flowers. Flowers and a letter
Send
of the
us
post.
Some flowers on behalf of Macca.
Short flowers.
Oh, you're a horrible man.
Me?
I meant it in the most positive ways. No, Linny the bastard.
You can't talk about girls white and hot.
Anyone f***s anything up and it's just the knives are out and it's fucking straight in the back, isn't it, you know? Even if it wasn't intended that way, it'll be turned on you.
You say it to every single woman that comes on the show. You did it to the netball lady as well.
What I say to her?
Well, you talk about weight and height.
What's wrong with that?
Can you explain it to him?
He's never asked me for my weight and height, actually. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Maybe because I'm not an athlete, so maybe it is,
When I did, when I read her Wikipedia, I did also think the same thing, Macca, so.
Yeah, but you just have a bit more brains.
No, he asked the question. I probably wouldn't have asked the question, but thanks for doing it on behalf of me as well.
Phrase it differently. I think the more important thing is ear size, Rick.
For a producer?
I'm not taking another shot at your ears, I'm just saying.
Now, during the off-season, Connor decided to do his own television series, and we played a couple of them. Now, this is the he wanted to show off his surfing ability, so he caught up with world champion Molly Picklum, who's from your part of the world.
Yeah, she is. Did you get my wave in this or not?
Did you get a wave?
Yeah, I got one.
Did you?
Got a couple, actually. I was filthy because the guys who we got filming it, like, they're not surf videographers, and they missed my first couple, and then the surf went flat for a bit. I was lucky I got a couple later, but so they...
Right, so this is a story all about Molly, but Connor's made it all about him.
Yeah.
Tour thing that every off season I just could always see the gap of like how much I had to improve on.
Oh my God. How are you? I'm just living my wet suit, eh?
Yeah, I know. Where's mine at?
I'm ready. I got sold 6:30. It's late.
Should feel how heavy this is.
I know. It's a bend of the knees. Yeah. Oh,
Jesus.
Go above the head. It's actually, I mean, he's making that look hard. He's way stronger than that.
Thanks for today. It's been great hanging out with you. It was so epic to see you out on the surf. Look at all the grummies. It was absolutely fucking. Seeing you like in the flesh, it's pretty special for them to be able to actually have a world champion in the surf. But then I think it's so like cool to see how you interact with everyone. You're so genuine, and you have a massive impact on everyone in the Central Coast. So thanks for taking us in your world for a day. And last question.
Thanks for the kind words, Connor. No, oh, my God. Serious. Thank you.
Last question of the day. What's next for Molly Picklum?
Oh, that is the big question. I think it's hopefully matching 26 with 2026 world title.
Yeah.
I want to win a world title and then get momentum and just start preparing for the Olympics. Because I would love.
Olympic gold.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
She's great. I've known her for a long time. She So when Chris Hyington retired from Newcastle, I played with him in his last year there, and we become really good friends. But when he retired, he became a personal or like a trainer, a strength and conditioner. And his best mate from his childhood, Glenn Hall, was a pro surfer for a long time, pretty much same length of career as Hino was. And when he retired, he became a surf coach. So he coached Molly like from when she was really young. And then I'd go back in the off season and basically train at Hino's gym, and then Molly would be hit there. And they would tell me at the age of 14, they're like, mate, she's going to be a world champion one day. Mm. And then literally, what is she now, like 22, I think, eight years later, we're sitting there and she actually is the world champion. And she had a great season. The way they do it now as well is it's like so instead of it being the winner of every event and like a point thing, it's that, but the top five get it going to a final series, and then it's a knockout. So fourth versus fifth, then the winner of that goes in versus third and all the way. And then so she'd finish the year in first, but then she's got to go then surf, you know, a three match final against against the person who basically won out of the rest of them to actually seal the world title, and she was able to do it. And yeah.
So that the whole story's up there on YouTube in the off season. Have you ever been? You're a beach. You live by the beach.
Live by the beach. Don't enter the water though. Yeah.
You ever tried surfing?
I did, and that's why I can't, because my dad scarred me at a very early age.
Really?
Yeah, he took me out and I got caught in a rip and the lifeguards had to come out and save me. Dad just went missing.
Where was he?
He was out in the surf in the larger waves, and my mom's on the shore going, Edge, your daughter's drowning. And then like seven lifeguards came to save me. And I never went back in.
Connor, you better take Rick for a surf. Rick's a gun surf.
Yeah, he might not come back.
Good buoyance.
And if you can film it.
You're a Queenslander. You must live by the beach. Surf.
Yeah, the beach is about 50 metres that way.
He lives on the beach, but he doesn't – I don't reckon Lenny surfs, but –
Yeah, I'll get in. Probably get in once a week, I reckon. But the wind's blowing at the moment, so there's a heap of blue
actually
bottles.
Surf?
Yeah.
All right, I didn't take you for a
what
surf.
What about, what was that thing that was in your backyard?
Oh, yeah, there was a GI Academy in the backyard.
going up.
Well, the dog chased it.
What?
The goanna in the backyard, the dog chased it. Then it doubled around and started chasing me before I started filming. Oh, mate, it was the worst nightmare. So then it tried to get in through the glass door behind me, through the doggy door. I was like, "Fuck me, this is my worst nightmare."
They'll rip you too,
will they?
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. So anyway, I sorted that out. But yeah, I'm staying inside the rest of the... Well, they get a bit bored. They got like ADHD and they wander around. And it took off on the footpath. Yeah, that was the second one in 2 days. I rode, it was an Eastern Brown, probably a metre and a half yesterday on the footpath, which is not ideal.
What do you do there? You get the snake catcher to come in?
Well, I thought about ringing Stu, but I'd rather spend that on piss than the snake catcher.
Hey, down your way, do people actually care if you saw a snake and you whacked it with a rake? Would that be a bad thing to do?
Yeah, they'd blow up.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah,
that's the only. I just didn't want to know. I wanted to know if it's in your property, can you treat it like an intruder?
I would love you to try and whack a snake and then it bite you because you made it angry.
Lenny, I've never seen more snakes ever than up on the sunny coast. When we lived up there in the Twin Waters, they're there every day, Nelly.
Yeah, so like behind me, the bush behind me is about 50, 60 metres of dune, and then the beach. And there's taipans, there's eastern browns, there's big goannas. They're everywhere. So that's why like the dogs are good, because they're scared of vibrations. So if you can get these solar lights that vibrate, that put them in the ground. Hopefully Stu's not watching the snake catcher trying to get rid of them.
What, like June?
Sorry, mate.
Like June to catch the big worm.
Yeah. So, no, there's plenty around, but look, it's... Time's up, your time's up. There's sharks in the ocean too. There was one spotted the other day out here.
Mate, this is according to Mark Ellis. That is why you are such a great sportsman, because you're surrounded by things that can kill you and it keeps you on edge and turns you into the great batsman that you are.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got my missus yelling at me inside as well. So I'm not safe inside, not safe outside.
Mm. No, it's a constant state of panic and disarray.
Been a great week, a great start to the NRL season. And one of the things that's really stood out is the performance of Emma Lawrence, the first female commentator of the NRL. And she has done a brilliant job. Have a listen to this.
Floater out to Katoa. And a huge ball out to Domaina Sopo. Oh, my goodness. Only Isaiah Katoa could nail that one. Actually, probably Nathan Cleary as well. But take a bow, Izzy Katoa. What a finish from Jermaine Asako. That was brilliant to watch. It's 8-4 to the Dolphins. Kick to come.
Yeah, she's doing a great job, Taylor. Do you know her?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
No.
Oh. That sort of killed that segment, didn't it?
No, I don't know her. Sorry. No. Just because she's a female and I'm a female, we don't all know each other, unfortunately, but nice try.
Oh,
I know her, though.
You know her.
Yeah.
That's who I was talking to. I wasn't talking to you, Taylor.
Yeah. Although we mentioned your name.
Oh, it's just Tyler.
I'm Tyler.
So she's doing a great job.
Yeah, she is.
It's awesome to see. Can see how much energy she's got there. But that was a pretty incredible pass. I don't know if you guys seen it.
Yeah, it was epic. She's a young mum as well.
It's awesome, Lenny. She's I've always found her to be a great sort of reporter, a great journalist. So it's cool to be able to see her make that next step to actually do play by play calling.
Yeah. You should meet her, Tata. You'd really enjoy her.
Yeah, she looks like a legend.
Why would she enjoy it?
Yeah.
Well, because women like talking to each other.
keep going, Mark.
You said it.
I think we should get
Can't argue that. Point well made. Well,
Melissa should coach this show.
She actually should.
Now, just before we go, the sport is social, so I've got three clips. Lenny sent me one of a guy having a tooth ripped out that I just couldn't put on because it just about made me sick. What are you thinking, mate?
Mate, I just want to see how tough he is. Have you guys seen the clip?
No.
Oh,
he ripped the big Maori guy with a face tats just had the pliers and pulled one of his back teeth out. I'll throw it on the group, and like he doesn't flinch at all, and like you can hear it, and it's just like, fuck me,
Watch the housemaid the other.
I want to watch that. Yeah.
What's that?
Sydney Sweeney movie.
Oh yeah,
that happens in there. It was pretty hard to watch, so I couldn't imagine actually seeing someone do it in real life.
And just because we need to work out, wander around in the world, Tata, can you give us a quick rundown of what's happening in the world of reality television?
Oh, yeah, I can actually. Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, great show. Mm-hmm. One of the lead Good Taylor show. Frankie Paul, she was selected to go on as the new Bachelorette in the US, which is a huge show still over there. And then her ex, a video has leaked of her abusing her ex with their child in the room and getting allegedly hit
throwing
by a chair.
Chairs. Yeah.
Yeah, so ABC over there has dropped the show.
Wow.
Oh, and they shot it, hey. Okay. Yeah, they filmed the whole season. Yeah. It was ready to go.
Yeah.
And they canned it.
Look how enthusiastic you are.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying that's crazy. Imagine how much money they put into it.
They knew what type of person they were getting when they cast her. It's four seasons of her like this. Yeah. Wow.
Anything else we need to know?
Maxie's heating up as per usual. Yeah, that's coming to an end soon.
Mash.
Married at first sight.
Mash. 4077 with Klinger and bloody
Klinger and Hawkeye.
Yeah, I
think the last episode was 1978.
Yeah, we're all getting around that over here in Oz, Mash. Fuck yeah.
Mash is big here. Happy Days is big here.
Used to be on, Ray, when you were sick. When you were sick from school and there was nothing left on the TV.
He thought it was normal to get a chair thrown at you.
There's a jinx that hasn't. You know, I mean, who hasn't had a chair thrown at them? You know, I mean, you're not sailing close enough to the fire if you haven't had a chair or, you know, a plate thrown at you.
All right, thank you. All right, let's have a look at the first clip from The Sport of Social.
The Sport of Social.
Here we go. Watch this clip and give it a score out of 10.
Oh, yeah, it's good. That's good. He missed the table, though. Oh, no, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Oh!
Is that the club?
I don't know.
It was Rick and Macca.
Oh, who cares? If it wasn't. Yeah, that's a 10, mate. That's a 10 all day long.
That's pretty good.
So you're a 10, vodka. Macca?
Oh, yeah. All day long. But it would be an 11 if it was in a public venue.
That's the sort of thing that your friends do.
the big barrel chender, Barrel Chester Ginger. He had a surfboard on a wall and he tried to run up the wall and grab the surfboard and surf it and rip the surfboard off and landed on a table full of punters having a meal. And then apologised and fell backwards into the band, into the drum set, you know, so... I've seen stuff like that, and life does not get any better.
Connor, what would you give that?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm going to go a 9.
A 9?
Yeah,
I'll 9 for me. 8.
I'm giving it a 5 because he's, like, just a party arsehole, like an obnoxious pain in the neck. He's the
but
last.
The first flip requires some skill to dodge on the
right,
table.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe a six.
Nice, Rick. Nice. The flip.
You'd be fun at parties, eh, Rick?
Hey. What sort of parties do you go to? Yeah, if I'm at a party and someone's diving on the table, I say, right, get rid of that guy.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. If you're in a party in Russia at a nightclub and that happens, you are squealing with delight. Yeah. You did say it was Russia.
Right, I forgot you've been to Russia. Okay, let's have a look at video number two in the Sport of Social.
I trust my wife.
Trust your wife.
Oh.
I trust my wife.
It's so good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, stupid pricks.
All right, anyone got a cup and a belt? Rick's in the perfect position.
No. No, but you should try that when you go home.
There's a cup.
Oh, thank you. Let's go, Rick.
No,
come
let's
on.
Let's not try and do that.
Don't you want good content?
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe how much you enjoyed that clip, Taylor.
Oh, my God. Like, that was – oh, that made my blood run cold seeing people get smacked in the face by a belt.
Yeah,
that would hurt, man.
Yeah, but you're not going to be the one getting the belt in the face. You're the one doing the strapping.
I know. That's why I want to do it to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I just said.
Right. We'll start with you, Connor. Score out of 10.
It was pretty good. I'm going to go a 9 again.
Yeah.
I'd hate to do that with my missus. There's no way she'd –
No. I think, you should all go home tonight and try that and film it and bring it in next week. That would be fun.
Yeah.
There's no way my husband would ever let me even bring that up.
No.
Especially my athleticism, Jesus.
Yeah. Square the 10.
Mine would use it. Mine would use an 10. Axe.
That was entertaining.
You're giving it a 10?
Yeah, I liked that. Yeah.
Right. Lenny?
8 for me.
You going to try it?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now, Macker, I know you'd pay good money for something like that.
Yes, no question.
What's your score?
Oh, mate, I would have given it an 8 until you showed the last one where she hit it off and there was just nothing in it for me, really. I want to see somebody losing an eye or, you know, getting a whip around the face and left with a lash mark. That's incredibly rewarding.
Okay.
Rick, what did you give it?
I'm giving it an 8.5. I thought it was a good piece of content, and but lost points for the lack of athleticism. You know, I mean, the goal's not to hit the guy in the face,
And more often than not, they did.
Yeah, so a bit disappointing. Bit more effort, women, please.
Mm.
And you are responsible for all women at the moment. So,
apparently so.
Yeah.
Vagina owners, I'm the queen, apparently.
Yeah.
I know everyone.
Yeah, you know
one.
Them all.
Yeah, you know
I know
them all.
They're
part of your gang. And now the final clip.
Have you guys seen the one, you know, when people try and William Tell an orange off somebody's head with a dart, you know?
I've watched friends of mine throw darts at blokes' hands on the dartboard and it just stick right in there.
You guys need to get new friends, I reckon.
Yeah, Boff did it to me and he threw it in my foot.
And now the third clip for the evening. This has dominated my timeline and it probably says a little bit more about me than it does about the content. That's cat food.
Yeah, wow.
It's huge. It's everywhere.
It's
but it's AI.
Is it?
It's pretty good where AI's got to through that video.
It's
a bit scary.
It is.
Start with you, Lenny. You look disapproving.
Oh, it's fucking fake. So it's a 2.
Yeah, part of what we scored it on was is it real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me so it disqualifies.
We get to 0 for
A 0?
No, for it being real.
So what's your score out of 10?
I thought it was pretty good, but... because it's not real, I'm giving it a 3.
Right. You're not even going to give it 3.
No, it's a 0 for me. It's fake.
Yeah. Don't like kung fu movies?
No.
Have you seen the fruit ones?
Yes. That's cool. It's like a dating show. There's someone's cheating.
Bananas and stuff.
Yeah, strawberries.
So you're saying that we can't like the cats because it's AI, but you think... Fruit being AI is funny.
It's just more entertaining, isn't it? Yeah,
you know it's AI,
Yeah.
I knew that was AI. It was a cat doing kung fu.
Oh, you never know.
There's very much your headphones. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your score, Macca?
Oh, this again, mate.
It's my favourite clip of the week.
Oh, dear.
You can't say that's AI and that's AI, so they're both funny. You can't plot humour. It's not like that. Not these days.
Co-producer's spoken.
All right. I'm very sorry. I'll never do it again.
Fucking shit, mate.
Yeah. Thank you. Calm down.
Shit to the good. Week. Waste of 5 minutes.
Oh. Look, I'm really sorry, and that's the end of the show.
What if to end like that? That is a buzzkill.
Yeah, next week should start with you reading an apology.
A minute silence.
Please. I tell you, please. Next week, please. Melissa is producing the show.
You just killed the show, mate.
It was funny.
It was a good show.
It was a cat doing kung fu.
We were competing with the good shows of Australia, and then that last clip, we're right back down the fucking bottom now, mate.
Look, before I say what I say, I am aware that sports is our great escape from the brutal realities of this world. But I got to speak on something. I got to bring it into the space. The current fuel crisis. Bear with me. You know, we're going to go back to the COVID time where we learnt all these new skills, got really good at ping pong, got kind of fit, learnt how to do some crochet, developed skills we never thought we had, learnt the guitar. Are we going to be horse and carriage up down to the supermarket? But that doesn't exist. Then we start going to the farmer's market. Do we grow our own stuff? Do we have enough time? All these questions. Here's my question. What are we going to do about the Warriors draw? You know, we're finally in first place, and I know it's only been 3 weeks, I know, but we're in first place, and we all remember what happened during COVID. They had to just stay away and have away games, and it was heavy on them. I mean, who knows if we would have won if we didn't have those conditions. But now, once again, we're up against it, right when we're winning. And it just seems funny to me, like I've never been a conspiracy theorist of sorts, but are they conspiring against the Warriors? Is that how deep this thing comes? We should just end the comp now, and we just say, whoever's on top of the table now wins the premiership. That's my proposal. What do we think?